Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Talk to Me, Sis. We are so excited for this week. We have a very special guest that is not coming to us from the autism world, and it's kind of exciting because when we started this, Nikki, we talked about it doesn't need to be all things autism. We want to be all things interesting, and we want to talk to interesting people, and we have done that today. We are inviting Rachel York in the studio, and Rachel works with Enneagram. I'm sorry, I'm not saying it right. I need to apologize on the front end to everybody. We've been traveling a lot recently, Nikki and I, yes, and I got sick on my travels. So I'm a little congested in coffee, so I will not really probably speak a lot because I know I sound annoying, but I wanted to welcome Rachel. Thanks for being here, Rachel.
Yes, Rachel, we are so excited to have you. I am particularly excited because I have been interested in and kind of mildly obsessed with the Enneagram for a long time. I started really reading up on it and researching back in 2020, but had never actually been typed until I did a session with Rachel. And it was so informative. And I felt like it's just such an awakening and helps you really look at yourself in a different light. And when we were talking about the different types of guests we'd like to have on, whether you're a parent of neurotypicals or a parent of a special needs child, the more you know about yourself and the more you know about your partner, the better you're going to be at relationships. So even though this is not necessarily an autism-focused guest, we can always use everything we're learning to help us in that world if that's where you find yourself. So little background, I know Rachel. She is from our hometown, little tiny St. Matthews, South Carolina. She went to the same school that my children go to, high school, and graduated from here. And she and her husband have three adorable little girls. And when I knew that she was into the Enneagram, I was like, okay, I need to talk to her and find out what my type is. So we are going to let Rachel take it from here and kind of give us an overview of what she does and what the Enneagram is for those that are unfamiliar.
All right. Well, thank y'all so much, ladies, for having me. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting set up, but hopefully everyone can hear me and I'm not frozen and all's good.
You look great.
Well, thank you. So yes, my name is Rachel. I am a certified Enneagram coach. So a little bit about me, like Nikki said, I am married to my high school sweetheart. We have three children, all girls. So running a small girl gang over here. I really have just had this passion for the Enneagram for quite some time. A little backstory about me is I am a school counselor by trade, so that's what I've been doing. I got my master's or my education specialist degree from the University of South Carolina. So I, you know,
with Gamecocks.
Yes, go Gamecocks. So I went to USC for both undergrad and graduate school, and I decided to become a school counselor, and that's what I've been doing since 2014. I did take 1 year off when I had my oldest daughter, and I still do that to this day. I am a school counselor, but the Enneagram just always really intrigued me. I first found out about the Enneagram years ago. I think it was about 2015, we were doing a small group at our church. We were just doing like a Bible study on the Enneagram, and it was this book called The Road Back to You. Have y'all read that book before?
Mm-mm. I have not, but you did tell us because you typed me as well, and you did tell me about this.
Yes, it is a phenomenal book if you're interested in the Enneagram and just learning more about what the Enneagram is. It's by Suzanne Stabile and Ian Cron, and it's just a great way to open up, again, what the Enneagram is, the basics, why it matters. And so we did a small group study on it at our church, And it was just like opening Pandora's box. Like, I was so fascinated by it. And that's why I bring up that I was, you know, I was at that point, I was already a school counselor. But it was just so enlightening to me just to be able to really understand on so much deeper of a level people's personalities, what makes them tick, why they are the way that they are. So I just became really, as Nikki said, same. I just kind of became obsessed with it. And then fast forward, like I mentioned, I have three daughters. And so I was able to take a course to become a certified Enneagram coach. And I launched this coaching business of mine almost 3 years ago to the date. So I just really enjoy connecting with people on a personal level. And just really, truly, my mission, my hope is to help people grow and thrive and become the best version of themselves. And then it's twofold, right? So it's that learning how to, you know, really focus on yourself, that personal development, personal growth, but then also to have empathy and awareness and understanding for those that are different than you. And so that truly is my passion. And that's why I wanted to do this on top of doing counseling, school counseling. And I recently launched a podcast, Let's Type About It, where we really dive into the Enneagram types and just learning about all different personalities. So yeah, I'm obviously very passionate about it.
I love it. Well, Rachel, one thing you just said really resonates with me. And this is a little bit jumping ahead, but you'll bring us back around to it. When I first read about it and, you know, kind of assumed that I was definitely one of two types and my husband was another, I think one of the most amazing things about learning your type is how much it helps you understand your partner and the why of how your partner relates to you. For me, when I figured out our types, it just took so much away from me as far as wanting to blame or wanting to react out of anger. When you know the why of someone, the way why they're acting the way they are, or why they're responding the way they're responding, or why they, you know, have this perspective, I feel like it's just so helpful in relationships and just helps you so much, particularly with your spouse or partner, whatever that is in your life.
Yes, that is so true. And it really is just, like I said, it's twofold. It's learning more about yourself. But really, I would argue that learning about your spouse or your closest mm-hmm. people in your life, that's almost just as important, if not mm-hmm. more important, because relationships, of course, are so important. And it really does just give you the roadmap to be able to understand people on such a deeper level.
100%. So for those listeners out there who have never heard of it, don't know what we're talking about, or, you know, the ones that just have a little base knowledge, can you give us just a brief overview of what the definition actually is and a little synopsis of each type?
Absolutely. So this is going to be the quickest history lesson you've ever had. But essentially, Enneagram is Greek for drawing of nine. So in layman's terms, to think of this, you know, as simply put as I can put it, is that it is an ancient personality typing system that longs to know what truly motivates you and what you're most afraid of. So that is how it is different than other personality tests out there. Like, for example, the Myers-Briggs. I'm sure that y'all have some experience with that. Most people in school or in their workplace have taken those kinds of personality tests. But the Enneagram, why I think is so much more relevant and why I think it's so important is, again, it is all about figuring out what each person is motivated by and what their biggest fear is. Right. It really helps you to understand what your worldview is, your lens. I like to explain to my clients that think of, you know, the Enneagram 9 types as 9 different pair of sunglasses on the ground. And based off of your personality type, you pick up a particular pair of sunglasses. And that's quite literally how you view the world. So by knowing that and having that understanding and having that awareness, you're able to kind of just see how you are uniquely different and also in comparison to all the other types.
That's a cool explanation.
And I think what's really cool is we've both been typed by Rachel. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm full disclosure, if you want to share, I mean.
Oh, me too.
Again, I'm trying not to talk too much, but I would love, I mean, it was really eye-opening, and I would love to do this with my children as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to help with that. But I think that it is just so enlightening. So to kind of answer a little bit more before we hop into that about each of the nine types, if you are unfamiliar with what the Enneagram is. So again, that was very, very basic, what it stands for and how it is different, that motivation and that fear. There are nine distinct personality types. So each person is going to identify with one core type. Again, think of that as whatever your core type ends up being, that is your worldview. That's how you, like I mentioned, see the world through those glasses, what you're motivated by, what you're afraid of, and then that impacts your behavior, how you respond to situations, your stressors, things of that nature. So a quick rundown of each of the types. The type one is known as the perfectionist or the reformer. There are definitely going to be more of that principled, purposeful, just very much see the world black versus white thinking, not a whole lot of room for gray area. They really do like for things to be done a right way. So again, think of that perfectionistic tendencies. And they are motivated by improving the world, improving themselves, to live the right way. So that's just a very brief synopsis of the one. The two is the type two helper, which I am a two helper. So I am a type two with a strong wing one. And that's another thing we can chat about is wings. But the type two helper is going to be really motivated by love and relationships. They're that caring, nurturer, very generous, warm-hearted, but they definitely are motivated by feeling wanted and needed, and that tends to go into their biggest fear is of not being wanted and needed. And I don't know if I said that with the one, what their basic motivation and fear, but real quick to rewind, the one's basic motivation is to have integrity and to be good and to be right, and their basic fear would be to be unethical, to do things, you know, wrong, or people to look at them as being bad or evil or something like that. Now, the type three, this is Nikki. Nikki is a three, which is the achiever, and they are going to be the success-oriented, pragmatic type. They're very productive. They're very successful in everything that they do, which I can attest that is so you, Nikki.
So, and I feel like it's not, but
oh my goodness. Yeah, right. As I'm on your podcast right now. but you know, they're very much that type that is driven. They're very much going to be a go-getter. They tend to just excel at what they do. They are motivated by a need to be successful, and they really have a fear of failure, of just kind of not being enough. Mm-hmm. The type four is the individualist or the romantic. They're going to be more of that. I always like to explain them as like the Taylor Swifts of the nine types, like very much in their feelings, have the high highs, the low lows. They feel things very deeply. So they're that empathetic type personality. They have this basic desire to have authenticity, for them to have a significance. And that's essentially what they're afraid of, is that they'll go throughout life and that they will not have any personal significance or any sense of identity. So identity is very important for them. The type five, which is my husband, which I was going to mention later about relationships, but he is an investigator. So those are going to be the type people, like y'all saw with when we had technical difficulties of trying to help solve problems. Very much that problem solver, very much that intellectual, logistical type personality. They are very much, again, just analytical. They want to figure out a solution, the best solution to a problem. They're motivated by being capable and competent, and they have a fear of the opposite, of not being capable, of not being able to do something on their own. The type six is the loyalist. They are going to be, as I like to refer to them, as the golden retriever of the bunch, never going to leave your side, that loyal title. You know, once they form a relationship with you, it's very hard to break that, that trust there, because they are so loyal to their people. They're, again, they kind of look like a two at a glance because they're very warm-hearted, very generous. Bless you. Very nurturing as well. But a big thing for a six is they have that fear-laced anxiety. They may struggle with worst-case scenario thinking. And that is due to the fact that they are motivated by wanting to have that sense of security and safety, and they are afraid of being without support or without guidance. The type seven is the enthusiast. They are going to be that spontaneous, playful, energetic, just joy-filled type personality. Think of them as like variety is the spice of life. They enjoy just experiencing all situations, all forms of life. They are just very much just that playful, energetic type personality. They have a basic desire to live their best life, to enjoy life to the fullest. Nikki, I think you said one of your daughters you think is a seven.
If you know Midge, you're right now screaming Midge.
I was thinking Midge and Jack. If you knew my Midge, Jack, okay. It sounds like Jack.
Yeah.
100%.
And so, yeah, and so they very much just want to embrace, you know, the fullest that they can, every situation of life. They just want to live life to the fullest. And they have a basic fear of just being deprived or in pain. They're the type that doesn't really like to sit with negativity for too long. And I'm actually, I don't know when this one will be released, but I have a podcast episode dropping tomorrow on the seven enthusiasts. So just did a whole plethora of information on the seven. And then finally, the last two, the eight. So this is you, Lise. Eight is the challenger. They are going to be that type that can come across intense or intimidating. They're just very strong, very that powerful type. They really enjoy just being able to advocate for themselves and for others, that kind of that justice seeking. They are motivated by being able to protect themselves and the ones that they love. So they're like that fierce mama, papa bear. And again, they are afraid of someone controlling them, or that they're not able to help or, you know, be there to defend those that they love. And then finally, the type nine is the peacemaker. I like to refer to them as the sweethearts of the bunch. They're very much that go with the flow, even keel, don't want to rock the boat kind of personality. Very much, again, that sweetheart, you know, they want to make others happy. They want to just keep things very just natural. They don't want things to, you know, topple over if, you know, they were to say, okay, there's a problem with this. So they tend to be the type that is kind of going to go along with whatever the group tends to want to do. They are motivated by a need to keep the peace, to not rock the boat, and they, again, are afraid of any sort of separation, any sort of loss. So, again, that's why they are not wanting to do anything that could possibly wreck their peace, their inner tranquility, and just that inner harmony that they so desire to have within themselves and within their relationships with others.
It's so
that's a mouthful.
I love it. It's so interesting. And I don't know if anybody else felt this, but when you're describing them, people are just flashing through my mind.
Yes.
Right. You know,
yes. Exactly.
So I hope I'm not like the jerk of the bunch. Am I like
No. And that's the thing, and I always try and explain this in each episode. Like, there is no type that's better or worse than the other. Right. It can definitely appear sometimes when you're hearing stuff about each type that like, oh, this one sounds a little bit better than this one. But the truth is that every single Enneagram type has just amazing God-given strengths and abilities, that their personality, just those things come natural to that type. And then there's going to be challenges and pitfalls for each type too. So no matter what type you are, there are so many positive things, but then there's definitely going to be challenges too. So no, you are not, you are just perfect the way that you are being a type eight. So.
Thank you, Rachel.
We need type eights in the world. In fact, I will get back to that towards the end about, you know, what each one kind of brings to the table, but.
Absolutely. We need type eights. I'm married to a very, very strong type eight. And he's one of the most impressive people that I know. I mean,
yes.
They're the leaders. They're the trailblazers. They're the decisive ones. Absolutely. You got to have No,
it takes all types to make the world go round.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is it a little unusual for a woman to, is it less common, I should say, for a woman to be an eight?
Yes and no. So the most common Enneagram type is, per my latest research that I've done, the most common Enneagram type for a male is an eight.
Uh-huh.
That's not to say that there's not women that are eight. And then the most common Enneagram type that I have found, like I said, my latest research is the nine peacemaker for women.
The woman.
However, I wonder sometimes if that's accurate, because I think it's a lot of the times based on people that take these online tests.
Don't really.
And the online tests are meant to be an indicator of what type you could be. So I oftentimes wonder if that's accurate or not, because a lot of times people take these tests and they don't get accurate results because maybe they're answering how they hoped that, you know, they would answer, or how they hope people see them.
Yeah.
So the Enneagram really is like a very personal thing, and you really have to be ready to sit with those answers, because again, like I mentioned, it doesn't matter what type you are. Like, there's so much goodness you bring to the table, but then there's things that aren't going to feel good to hear about your type, no matter what type you are.
I remember, Rachel, when you and I were doing it over the phone, we were on the phone for over an hour or so,
right? Yeah.
However long it took. And, you know, you said to me at the get-go, the more true to yourself and as uncomfortable as your answers may seem or feel, just be as honest as you can. And I remember I got emotional with a few things that you like pulled out of me, just digging into maybe where some of it came from.
Yeah. And that honestly is like my favorite part of being an Enneagram coach, because this is like, I'm not, you know, creating this knowledge, right? This has been around for forever, but being able to be that in between to help somebody, you know, really sit with those God-given abilities that you have, but also those things that are kind of more of a struggle for you, like being able to help someone have that vocabulary and to be able to have that roadmap to hopefully help their life be a little bit easier, or at least be able to like explain things a bit more, because like y'all already know how and why y'all are the way that y'all are. This is really just giving you the actual language to explain it and to be like, that makes sense. Like, this is why I do what I do, or like, this is how I am in stress and that sort of thing. So not that I was trying to make you cry, Elise, but I'm glad you were able to kind of feel seen and validated, which is what I always like to tell my clients. Like, your Enneagram type is going to be the number that like really makes you feel seen and heard and validated. And I don't think I mentioned yet, but the Enneagram with your specific core type, whatever core type that ends up being, your type will have two other numbers that's very important for you to know that we talked about in our private sessions, but your stress and your growth number. And that really is where so much of the goodness of the Enneagram comes from, because that is not just finding out, okay, I'm a two helper, but it's where my number goes in stress, which picks up the unhealthy characteristics of that particular number, and then where your core type, your core number goes to in growth, picking up the healthy characteristics of that number.
Rachel, to give an example of that, would you tell the audience, me and Lisa's, like I'm a three, Lisa's an eight, where do each of us go in stress and in growth? Just like people can get a mental picture of what that means.
Absolutely. So for you, Nikki, as I mentioned, you are a three achiever. So that's your core type. Your core type will never change. But you have two other numbers that are very important for you to know. So your stress number is where you go to in those modes of stress, picking up the unhealthy characteristics of the type nine. So that is picking up the unhealthy characteristics of the type nine peacemaker. As I mentioned with giving a synopsis of what the three looks like, the three, of course, is that go-getter, that energetic, just, you know, excelling at what they do. But when they are in stress mode, they will quite literally do a 180. They can look like, you know, just kind of being super burnout, being almost like sloth-like, like almost like, I don't care about anything. You know, I just want to go, you know, binge, watch Netflix, whatever it is. Like, they're picking up the unhealthy sides of that nine peacemaker. So that's like some behaviors that you may exhibit when you're just kind of burnt out and you're just like over it. And again, it's helpful for you to know that and for your husband and the people mm-hmm. closest to you to know that, because sometimes we don't even realize that something's really bothering us. Mm-hmm. And then because of behaviors that start to bubble up on the surface, it's helpful to have people in your life that are close to you and that can say, you know, Nikki, like, this is not your norm. Like, everything okay?
So then you go to 9 for your stress.
Yes. For stress. And then for growth, Nikki goes to the type 6 loyalist, which is looking at picking up the healthy characteristics of the loyalist. So the loyalist do what now?
I said, so interesting to me, those two.
So that can look like just becoming more, you know, focused, a bit more grounded, just being able to kind of, you know, just not be so go, 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 just being able to kind of be where your feet are. So that's just going to be a brief synopsis for you, Nikki. And so again, it's helpful to have that language so that you're able to know what your stressors are, what they can look like in your behavior, and how to pivot when those come up. And then the growth number for you to be able to figure out what really brings out that goodness, you know, whether it's certain activities or certain relationships that you have, for you to really focus on that. And then you, Lise, you, again, are a type 8 challenger. So the other two numbers that are important for you to know is you go to the type 5 in stress, which is that investigator. So that's going to look like you, when you're in stress mode, you can almost want to, like, isolate and kind of be a little bit more reclusive. Like, just, again, kind of think of it as just sort of shut down. Like, the 5s are very much the introverted type of the 9 types. So when you're going to them in stress, it can definitely look like just sort of picking up on more of that kind of, I want to remove myself from the situation. You know, maybe I'm a little bit more hyper-fixated on things, a bit more critical thinking, but not necessarily in the best light, because again, that's that stress mode. Yeah. And then for your growth number, you're going to go to the type 2 helper. So that's the healthy side of the 2. And that could look like just being a bit more quick to listen versus just react. You're being able to be a bit more, you know, warm and caring and nurturing and not necessarily as dominant as your personality tends to be. But just more of that, again, like the nurturing side of you and that growth mindset.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing. So I've known Lise pretty well now for a year. And I think she's a pretty healthy person because I feel a lot of that 2 energy from her and observe it in her often. There you go, Lise. I think you're in your growth.
Exactly. Hopefully. And there's so much. And that's the thing is, like, just because you find out your core type, like your core type, if you're an 8, Lise, like, you may look completely different to another fellow 8 because, like Nikki just said, they could be in an unhealthy state. Mm-hmm. We didn't really touch on wings yet, but your wing is simply going to be the number that is on either side of your core type. So, for example, for Lise, she could either be an 8 wing 7 or an 8 wing 9. It's mm-hmm. either one of those numbers. Most people have a dominant wing. Some people have, you know, even wings. Some people don't really. They just kind of identify with their core type. But that also helps to understand your personality specifically. Because here's the thing. Just because you know your Enneagram type and what your strengths and weaknesses tend to be per your type, we're still all human beings. So this isn't just going to be a one size fits all 8s are the same, all 3s are the same. There's going to be a lot of variables that are going to go into, you know, what your exact personality type looks like. It just tends to be that, Nikki, if you were to get together with a few other 3s, y'all probably would have a lot of similarities, and it all goes back to that basic motivation and that basic fear that is the same for each of you 3s, but y'all can obviously look different. Yeah. You're definitely a 3 wing 2, and if you have a 3 wing 4, you know, that's obviously going to look very differently.
Very much. I have an autism-related question. I just want to know what Lise thinks. I have not asked her this before this. So my children have not been typed, but we've done the online survey, you know, type things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would bet a lot of money on each of them, like what they are. Yeah. I think Taylor's like me, a 2-3 combo of some sort, Midge would be a 7. Maverick is a 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. There's no way he could be anything but a 9. But I find this very interesting. I have no idea what, like, I don't even have a clue what Tanner would be.
Really?
Like, nothing, like, and you know, we always laugh too. Tanner, all my children are born and raised in South Carolina. I'm not a native Southerner, but my husband is, and they are. They all have Southern accents, but he doesn't.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So please, do you, and I know your kids don't necessarily have the Southern accent because you're Northern. Yeah. But do you feel that way? Like, in your mind, does your mind jump to what your kids probably are? And do you have an inclination for Connor? Or not necessarily? Like, I have no...
That's interesting. I got to think about it, really. I mean, if really quick, knowing not much, I think my daughter's very perfectionist. I think she would be... I think Jack's a 7. Mm-hmm. Ben is... I think Ben's the peacekeeper. I think Ben's a 9. Connor... That's so interesting.
Isn't it? Because that was one of the first things I thought when I was talking to Rachel. I was like,
I feel like if I had to pick, Connor could be an investigator. I feel like Connor is analytical.
Yeah. I was gonna say that, but I didn't want to talk over you. But
investigator or perfectionist, just because Connor's so, which is more very rule roadmap. Mm-hmm. We don't deviate.
Yeah.
That the investigator or the... I think him and Anna could almost fall in the same bucket.
Yeah. So the perfectionist is obviously going to be very black versus white thinking. Like, there is a right and a wrong way to do
Brain
things.
Brain bothers Connor a lot.
Yeah. That's going to be, like, my daughter is, she's only 8 years old, but I'm like, she is 100% going to be a 1. Like, so much so that, like, we were eating popcorn, or they were all eating popcorn last night, my 3 daughters, and she was, like, telling them, like, one piece at a time, you know? Oh. Like, there's just, like, there is a way to do things. So that could definitely be Connor. But then, as you mentioned...
They get upset if someone thinks ill of them, because Connor gets very upset.
Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
If someone thinks he's a bad person...
Because that's the one's basic fear, is that people will think that they are wrong or bad or evil or don't have integrity.
Wow.
So that's why they're quite literally driven to, you know, to do things the right way. But he could be a 5 too, because that's kind of where my mind went with what I've seen on the show of just him being, you know, more that analytical type and problem solver and that sort of thing. But it is fascinating. It really is.
It is. I just thought that was interesting. And for other, you know, obviously we have a very large audience of people that have children on the spectrum. And I just, it's, you know, because it is definitely a different personality development and a very different going up in the world. So I would love to try to type Tanner at some point.
I would be very interested in typing the rest of my husband and my kids and stepkids. It would be really interesting. But, and again, I think we're going to do whatever we can to link. If anybody out there listening wants to connect with Rachel, we would love to promote, you know, reach out to her. I had an amazing experience personally with her.
Me too.
I think if you're going to do it and you're going to reach out to Rachel, make a commitment to yourself. Rachel's, I mean, she's telling everybody because we gave her permission to be, we're happy to share this. I mean, I just thought it was amazing, but I encourage you because it was almost very healing for me. And then she actually unlocked some things that I hadn't thought about in years and years and years with her questioning.
Agreed.
And it's things I think I needed to think about so that we could get an understanding of why I act the way I act in times. And so we would love to encourage anyone listening, comment, send us an email. We will get you connected with Rachel if you're interested.
And we'll put all her information in the show notes too, for sure. How to find her and get in touch with her. But yeah. And what we were saying at the beginning too, taking the time to do it and find out who your close people are. It is, I don't know. It was like such a cross off my back when Mark and I figured out our types, and knowing that his motivation for the way he feels and the intensity with which he approaches relationship and the way he sometimes speaks and the way he phrases things, it all makes sense. So rather than harbor resentment or frustration or anger, I'm like, he just doesn't see it the way I see it. He's not internalizing what I'm internalizing. And when you know that about someone, it is so much easier to give them grace. It is so much easier to find them interesting and to want to try to work things out. So I think it's just like one of the most helpful things you can do for a relationship.
Well, I think, like I was explaining it with my husband, as mentioned, he's a 5 and I'm a 2. And so I won't get into all the other things, but there's 3 different triads, the head, the heart, and the gut. He's in the head, I'm in the heart, which basically just means he makes decisions by thinking things through, being very rational. I'm more the emotional heart triad that I like feel things through, more that emotional one. So I always like to explain it that it's literally breaking down that language barrier, because a lot of times we just, when people do things or don't do things the way that we would do them or we wouldn't do them, we can a lot of times just human nature just assume things, have a lot of misconceptions. But I think that's what the Enneagram teaches, is that like we all, like I mentioned at the beginning, is that we all see the world so differently. And it takes all types to make the world go round. And each type really does bring so much beauty and goodness to the world. But if you don't have an understanding of why this person is behaving or, you know, thinking a certain way that is not the way that you would, it can be very easy to just immediately, you know, write them off. I can't believe they do that. I would, you know, when really it's just, we're just different. It's just how we view things differently. And there's no right or wrong way. It's just simply how you view the world and then being able to understand your motivations with your behavior and with your actions.
Yes, I love it. So interesting.
It was very eye-opening. So really quick, you did the other triads. So it was head, heart, gut. What is a gut person? Where do they come from?
Yeah, what are those triads?
I mean, obviously it's the gut, but what?
Yes.
I'm almost thinking I go off my gut, but what does that actually mean? What I do?
So you would definitely be right, Lise, in saying that you are in the gut triad. The 8, the 9, and the 1 are all in the gut triad. All that means is what they tend to use to make decisions. So they tend to be that gut instinct. You know, they're just going to go with what they feel in that moment to be right. Whereas, like, for example, like I mentioned, the head triad, which is going to be the 5, the 6, and the 7, they're going to be one that really needs to maybe think and process things a bit more. They want to, you know, again, think of that analytical, really trying to figure out the right solution. And then the heart triad. So this is going to be me and you, Nikki, the 2, the 3, and the 4, which should come to no surprise. Yep. They're going to feel their way through making decisions, that emotion. Yep. So again, like I'm going to use you, Nikki, as an example. You said that you are pretty positive your husband's an 8. So y'all are quite literally in 2 different triads. So by knowing that, you're able to know, okay, I tend to feel and process my decisions through my emotions, and my husband is the complete opposite. And if you didn't have that sense of awareness and that sense of understanding, can't you see how that could definitely be problematic? And
it
y'all
was. For years, it was problematic, very.
Yeah, but it makes sense, because it's not like you're right and he's wrong, or he's right and you're wrong. It's just y'all are literally different people in how y'all process and make decisions. Yep. And if you don't have that knowledge and that understanding, it's very easy to just, again, write people off, just assume the worst.
Yes.
So it's really, that is, in answer to your question, Lise, that is what those triads are important to know. We all can access different ones. There's going to be times where, you know, I think more, you know, with my head than my heart, you know, vice versa for everyone that are in different triads. But that just tends to be the way that each type tends to process things a bit more, is through one of those triads.
And it's interesting, because it is easy to just fall and just, it's hard to even fathom, like, you know, my husband, I always joke, he like wants a spreadsheet, he wants this and that. And I'm like, I just go off of immediate feelings.
Yes.
And one of my lines to my kids is, trust your gut, listen to your gut. What does your gut say? And I didn't even know this before I met you. But that's language I use with my kids. And I'm like, what is your gut? What does it say? And I'm like, I'm kind of projecting that onto others in my life. Like, you need to go with your gut. And I think it's wise for me to understand that may not be their best mode of approaching something. And this
it's
so eye-opening.
It's so I love
that. That's very wise of you, Lise, for you to see that. So I agree, Nikki. She is definitely in that healthy space. But yeah, you know, but it is. It's truly like leaning into the goodness of knowing all of that. And knowing what your type brings to the table and how you tend to be and how you're different from those in your life, whether
it's so helpful.
Your partner, your kids, your coworkers, you know, I don't care what relationship it is. In my opinion, the Enneagram is going to be beneficial in every single relationship that you have. And I
especially wanted to just mention too, because I know y'all's community, you know, y'all have a lot of listeners with like how y'all have children on the spectrum. And so I wrote down, I hope I'm not jumping ahead, but I just wanted to write down something that if you are a parent listening and you know your Enneagram type, or maybe you don't know, but maybe just even having this brief synopsis of each type, you have an idea. I wanted to just write out what I personally think each of those parents' superpowers would be.
Oh, yeah.
Per their Enneagram type. Just very brief, if that's okay.
Yeah,
go for it.
So, for example, if you're a one, so again, the perfectionist, I would say that superpower that you bring to the table is being very structured and very principled. For the two helper is being deeply caring and tuned in to their needs. For a three is being very efficient and resourceful with your time and your energy. The four individualist is going to be that very emotionally deep and empathetic parent. The five investigator is going to be very observant and very informed. The six loyalist is going to be loyal and prepared for all scenarios and situations. The seven enthusiast is going to be optimistic and resilient. The eight challenger is going to be strong and protective. And the nine peacemaker is going to be calm and steady. Yeah. So I just wanted to mention that, because whether you're listening and, you know, you aren't a caregiver, you don't have a child on the spectrum, or wherever you may fall, I think the Enneagram is for everybody. But since I know y'all's audience, that is why I think the Enneagram is, I would almost argue to say, even more relevant in those kind of people's lives, because you can't pour from an empty cup. That's true for no matter what situation you're going through. And me as a helper, I'm like preaching to the choir. But you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. And what I think the Enneagram gives you is just that, the resources that you need to be able to really understand yourself better so that you can love others so much better, so much on a deeper level. And just, you know, really being able to, you know, adapt your communication, building that empathy, building your patience, recognizing your own stress, your own triggers, you know, having that sense of awareness, I think really is going to help, whether you're parenting someone with autism or you're just simply, you know, just a human being just listening to this, you know, it is just going to be helpful no matter what stage of life you're in.
It really is. And any listener who is, curiosity is now, you know, going up, please reach out to Rachel. It was such a great phone call. It was like a little treat to myself. I felt like it was the same as going to get a massage or a facial.
Aww.
Like, you know, you just get a little bit of like internal work, and it was really good just to reflect. And it makes you feel good about some things that maybe you haven't given yourself credit for. And it also checked you about things that you really maybe need to get more real with yourself about. So right. I loved it. It's such a
And I did. Time. I felt very validated in sort of looking over my shoulder and looking back at the kind of parenting I did and the situations I found myself in. It was very validating of, okay, I get why
you did
came out of the corner swinging, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You understand that basic motivation, that basic fear, and that really does drive your decision-making, drives your behaviors, and again, just how you view the world. So being able to understand that, you know, and really seeing, okay, like this is why I responded that way. So I'm so glad to hear that. I definitely offer those typing sessions to figure out your type, growth sessions where we then take what we now know of what your type is and apply it to your life specifically. You know, that also is very much recommended.
Do you ever work with couples and families as a whole? Yes. And kind of, or are you just more individually focused?
Nope. So I truly, like I said, I'm a school counselor. Like that's what I do full time, but I'm so passionate about it. So this is truly like my second job that I do. And I work with individuals for one-on-one coaching. I work with relationships, you know, like I've worked with several married couples, to kind of open up those lines of communication to be able to understand your partner better. I've worked with businesses, with churches, to be able to, in a group setting, to make sure that you're, you know, having just that harmony as best as you can. So just all different kinds of things. I've even gotten together in like a small group setting with like, you know, a girlfriend type setting where you're able to just kind of learn the basics in a fun way of the Enneagram. So I really do it all. If you have an idea or something that you want, I'm able to, you know, tailor my services however. But truly my mission is just to help people and to help people become the best version of themselves and help with that understanding and empathy of those that are different. And if I can be, you know, just a medium for that, to be able to just teach people and be simply just, you know, the mouthpiece to teach people of what I've learned about the Enneagram and know to be true, then that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
You said the two words that this world needs so much of: understanding and empathy. My Lord.
Yes.
Don't we need so much more of that? And giving people grace to be who they are and understanding that everyone's not alike. That is
exactly
so incredibly needed and helpful right now.
Yes, exactly. Embrace the differences and just love people and not judge. It's just so, I mean, really, it's such a cliche, but the world needs more love, sweet love, right? I mean,
it really does.
And just understanding kind of who you're dealing with is great. And I could even see, to your point, like offices or teams within a big corporation, just how critical it would be to understand. I work in a very small office, but there's a lot of dynamics within this group. It'd be kind of cool to see where everyone else is coming from. So this was super valuable to me personally.
Yes.
And I do hope if anyone is interested, they seek out Rachel or seek out us and we can connect you. We'd be
thrilled. On that note, Rachel, tell everybody, and we'll put it in the show notes too. Tell everybody how and where they can find you.
Okay. Thank y'all so much. So I have an Instagram and Facebook page. It's at Let's Type About It. And then, like I said, I recently launched my own podcast. So I have so far as of this moment, I've done types 1 through 7. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on, is just, you know, doing an episode on each core type. And then I'm going to have some guests on, maybe y'all would even be interested in popping on, you know, just to hear from people in their specific type. I'm going to do all kinds of fun topics, relationships, you know, all sorts of fun things. So, but yeah, I would love to connect. Like I mentioned, I do all kinds of services. And Lise, real quick to your point about the businesses, I definitely think it's critical in the workplace, because, you know, you don't get to choose who your coworkers are most of the time. So being able to understand their language a little bit, you know, breaking that barrier, like I mentioned, and also just like really understanding based on your personality type, what kind of types are probably best served in certain roles. You know, that can also be very beneficial.
That's amazing. Wonderful. Making sure everybody's in the right seat on the bus for the company.
Yes. Exactly. Yep. Love that. Yes. Because that truly is going to drive productivity and happiness and, you know, make the workplace a much better place if everyone's kind of, you know, rocking and rolling how they need to be. Yeah.
Well, Rachel, you are amazing. This has been so informative, and I'm so glad you took the time to come on. I know your life is extremely busy.
We are so sorry about the technical difficulties on the front.
Thank y'all for working
with me. We're all learning as we go.
Yes. Thank y'all for letting me come on and share, and I just really admire both of you. I think y'all are amazing women, and I texted both of you, but I had a rough day the other day, and I watched Love on the Spectrum because y'all's voice bring me so much joy, as does the whole show. And so we are just, I can speak for the whole world that we are just happier and better because y'all launched this podcast and just have, you know, just a space for people to feel connected and to feel seen. And so y'all are awesome.
Thank you so much.
You, Rachel. We loved having you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And we always wrap it up with a, we love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it.
See you guys next time.
All right. Bye.
Lastly, everybody, if you liked hanging out with us today, do us a favor, hit the follow button, leave a rating, or drop a quick review. It helps more than you know. And if you really loved it, send it to a friend who needs to hear this. And if you're interested in sponsoring a future episode, please send us an email at talktomesismail@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and love you, mean.